Welcome to Arkansas Talent Conversations. I'm your host, Kevin Yares. Every week on Arkansas Talent Conversations, we spotlight and present members of the Arkansas Talent Database. Our conversations include artists, actors, independent filmmakers, along with other arts and entertainment professionals here in the state of Arkansas. From Low Gap Media, outside Clinton, Arkansas, this is Arkansas Talent Conversations. Our guest today is Michael Doc Davis, a.k.a. Doc the Comedian. He is a well-versed stand-up comic, writer, actor, and a member of CASA. Welcome to the show, Michael.
Thank you. Thank you, Kevin.
You've got a very extremely diverse background. What first pulled you into comedy?
Well, honestly, the first thing that pulled me into comedy was more of a dare. Some friends of mine, they kind of... they said that they wanted to get into doing movies and doing some film work, and but they didn't really have anything to help them get their portfolio started. And then I was like, yeah, it'd be kind of funny to be a comedian or some kind of weird something like that, or just get into it. But I didn't know how to do it. And then guys were like, well, we got the Looney Bin down at Little Rock, dude. I dare you to get up on stage and start that out there. And I was like, ah, there's no way I'm getting up there. And I had done a competition a long time ago that I ended up placing second on the first round, and then placed first on the first round. Amateur, totally amateur. You couldn't have done any kind of stand up before, but they dared me to get on stage. And, so I was like, all right, went down there, couldn't get on the lineup cause you had to be there at a certain time. Got back down there a second time and went up. And actually my very first time up is actually on my website. It was, I think I've got it out there as Doc 1.0 or some kind of something.
Right.
But it was Doc 1.0, and it was talking about, you know, one of the reasons why they call me Doc, which was the whole volunteer gynecology thing. So it kind of got a little strange there when I started kind of running around seeing people doing the big Doc salute and telling me my jokes just after my first shot up was kind of very interesting. But that's how it really got started. It was out of a dare. And to help somebody with their portfolios, to kind of give them a character that they could start filming on.
Well, your nickname, Doc, that comes from the acronym of your name, pretty much, right?
Yeah, yeah. But the interesting part was is waiting for people to guess what it meant. I had so many people saying, so yeah, Doc, what, you know, Doc, what's it stand for? Like Dumb Old Country Boy or Dudes on Crack or, you know, I mean, just you name it. I heard everything, you know, and then I actually got into a little bit of charity work. And, it took on a totally different acronym, which was like Defender of Children.
Right.
And then of course, what was the other one? It was basically Defender of Children and, Defender of Comedy and all kinds of weird stuff like that. And then I did a lot of church work for a while, and then it took on another one, which was Disciple of Christ. And I mean, you would be amazed on how many times it took, but it literally originated from my initials, MD, from Michael Davis. Yeah.
Right. You're basically a newbie to comedy in such a way. I mean, you just began this, 2005?
Yeah, 2005 in the public scene, yeah.
Right.
I did a lot of private stuff, little private parties and stuff like that before that, but the only public shot was about around 2005.
You've got a pretty large range to your routine also, don't you? I mean, on a State of Comedy, your listings go from almost G all the way up to R.
Yeah, yeah. And then depending on how much I've drank, it can actually hit the triple X roll. But I try to stay away from that. But, you know, Jaeger makes things happen that you just don't quite expect, you know. But, of course, tequila makes your clothes come off. So that's usually how that rolls. But, yeah, I've performed everywhere from churches to a biker bar to I'll call it a diverse bar, a bar of diversity.
Right.
I've done everything, you know, it's really comedy is comedy. You know, everybody's going to laugh the same. It's, you know, everybody's going to find humor. Everybody's going to be offended by something. Doesn't matter where you are, but, yeah, I did, G to R. I've got a very, very diverse range of ratings.
You must be able to read a room pretty well then too, as far as how far you can go with the crowd.
Yeah. Yeah. You can really read a room when there's nobody left. When there's nobody left, you've made that mistake that you didn't read the room right. That's when you should really kind of pick up on it and maybe even change your career. But yeah, you have to read, what people are doing in the room while you're doing your comedy, the body language, if they're carrying on side conversations or what have you. I usually will ask questions just to make sure that the audience gets engaged.
And paying attention to you.
Yeah. And I'll ask, you know, questions, everything. And most comics do this. They'll ask questions like, you know, anybody out there have a birthday coming up? You know, but that way, you know, they need to know that we do appreciate them being there and we want to celebrate their birthdays with them, anniversaries. You know, is there any divorces? Congratulations. I mean, those kinds of things, you know, we do like celebrating stuff with them.
We're here with Michael Doc Davis on Arkansas Talent Conversations. Part of also your routine, you've also described yourself and other people have described you. You're kind of a mix of Jim Carrey and Robin Williams and Steve Martin. So I take it you're pretty active when you're up there on stage and you're feeling the groove.
Yes, yes, yeah. A lot of my they call them facial twitches, but it's actual facial expressions. I do have a lot of facial expressions that I do. My voice changes in pitch quite a bit. I have no problem with contorting my body just to get a laugh, you know, and I do that. And I did just say do. But I do everything as far as, like Jim Carrey does a lot of different voices and stuff like that. I do have a tendency of doing that on stage. Steve Martin is kind of a, you know, real animated kind of guy. And if you watch any of my videos, which we're getting ready to publish a whole lot more of those, I cannot keep my arms from moving. I don't know what that is. I don't know if I'm having some kind of weird stage spasms or something. I don't know what it is, but I'm just starting to do it right now. As I started talking about it, I'm doing it right here.
I do it all the time.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
I'm just sitting here when I ask a question.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe Kevin and I should be wearing boxing gloves and we just go, we go body expression language boxing right here. Just go at it. But yeah, very animated. I do a lot of facial expressions and voices and it's a pretty good mix because Robin Williams obviously has a lot of voices, a lot of personalities and I'm wanting to expand more and more and allow that part of me to come out. But yeah, that's a pretty accurate read. Those three characters are a pretty good accurate read.
Well, so your material, it seems like it's ever changing. And are you always constantly looking for new material to bring in? We'll get into your shorts. We will be getting.
You're gonna
into,
get in my shorts. No,
we will
no,
be
you're
getting
not.
Getting into the filming your film shorts that you're
oh,
going to be going to talk later. I knew that would come out wrong. But is your material ever changing? You know, are you always looking to always keep it update and fresh? Now, other comedians that I've seen here in the area, you see them at one show and you see them about a month later and they're kind of hashing the same stuff
yeah.
out. How do you keep fresh with your material?
Well, I have a bit that I do on the Point 94.1 and it's called Undocumented News. And Undocumented News is basically, it's real news articles and I kind of put a twist of me in there. And, that's all new headlines, stuff that's happened over the past week. So there's always new material coming in that way. But once you kind of get into the groove of doing comedy, I was mentored by a guy named Rick Gutierrez. And I was also mentored by who is currently holding the reigning crown of Arkansas's funniest person, which is Chucky D. And I also have a really good friend of mine, Tommy Kelly. They all kind of kept pushing me to open my senses to the funniness that's around you. And when you start picking up that new material, it just happens. It really does. I mean, what the difference is you're looking for it. And,
right,
and
okay.
when it happens, it's just like, oh my gosh, that's funny. And what happens all on, you know, in turn on that is if you look at my cell phone, I've probably got 80 notes of different things I find funny. But now I've kind of went to the voice thing. It's like, okay, da, 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 da. And I'd say what I just saw, you know, like the come and go gas station up there in Eureka Springs.
Right.
Has a lot of material there.
Right.
You know, going up in Eureka, going up to Harrison itself, you know, there's a lot of material there. So, I mean, it almost becomes automatic. You know, you start, you see things, you know, it's no different than any other art. You know, you can see the beauty in things and you can make it even more beautiful by molding it or doing whatever, just like comedy. See something that's kind of funny, you add a little extra flair to it and it becomes a joke. So that's really how it happens, but it is never ending, always changing.
Are you kind of a words per day type of writer? I mean, do you sit down and actually write out the jokes and look at them, or do you just try to keep them retained in your mind?
Well, I have drinking to do. And when you do the drinking, you really can't do the words. And if you do the words when you're drinking, you don't know what you said the day after. So it's kind of there's nothing left. So you just kind of have a bunch of, I'm just joking. I don't do that though. But, I do a lot of writing. I write probably every day and I have to write about twice a week minimum for just Undocumented News. I capture little things here and there about every day. I'm writing scripts for the, for my shorts.
Your shorts. We're going to get into your shorts here in a little bit.
No, stay out of my shorts. But yeah, we got, I do a lot of writing, I would say probably about at a minimum 5 times a week. I'm doing, even if it's just, you know, I'll write a 2-paragraph deal. I might not ever use it.
Right.
But some of those 2 paragraphs actually are going to become comedy shorts, which is kind of weird. It didn't become a joke, but it is going to become a comedy short.
Working into the material. Mm-hmm. Just stepping away from the comedy just for a moment. Do you write in any other genres, or are you right now, are you just trying to focus in on the comedy area of writing?
Well, I'm kind of focused on the area of comedy. However, that's definitely not my only character or my only personality. Obviously I was recently, cast in, Tuckerman, which is a thriller or a scary movie. And, I got the lead role for that one, and that was not comedy. There was no comedy involved in that. But if most people think about it, and you listen to any comedian, most of their jokes come from their deepest, darkest things that made them hurt or made them, you know, feel pain.
Right.
So really, most comedians are probably the most diverse actors that you can get, because they have practiced being funny and the happy guy, and now they're leveraging that same stuff to be able to be that dark, sinister, or morbid person. Yeah, they can go either way. So, yeah, I'm kind of a Sybil all in my own self.
We're here with Michael Doc Davis as our guest today on Arkansas Talent Conversations. So moving now into the thriller area of Tuckerman, you're also the main character.
Yes.
How is that taking direction? This is not your material. You're not on stage. And now you've got a director, you've got a camera here, and we met Jet West was in a couple weeks ago, a very mellow guy, but how is that taking direction where you're so used to, this is my thing, and then all of a sudden you have somebody not really telling you what to do, but kind of massaging you into this role, and obviously from what I've been told about Tuckerman, something completely off key from comedy.
Yes, yes. Well, at first it was a little awkward, because when you go from doing stand-up comedy or comedy in general, you have a response. You do something and something comes back. The only thing I would get would be cut. And it wasn't a laughter. The cast actually ended up being, a lot of my audience. I would do something. I would look for expressions if it went well. Jet was incredible. I mean, the entire crew, the way they actually all gave me feedback. It wasn't just Jet. Jet gave me from an overall vision what he wanted, and it made it so simple. We actually had a lot of great chemistry. So honestly, it wasn't a whole lot different from me doing my own stuff, because I would say, hey, Jet, it'd feel more comfortable if I did this. And Jet was like, well, game on. You know, let's roll with that and see what it looks like. And you go, oh, I like that better. Or it's like, nah, Doc, I know you want to go that way, but, you know, in order for us to capture what we're trying to do at the end, the only way we can do that is if you do it this way. And it was just an easy flow. And then we had the sound guy, you know, Wayne Bradley.
Yeah,
Wayne Bradley.
He'll be on the show in the future. Yes.
It was outstanding, because he was like, okay, Doc, I know you're wanting to deliver that line while you're looking at that person. However, from a sound perspective, we've got to capture it this way. But it was just a super easy flow. The entire cast and the entire crew, the way everybody moved together, that's actually what I should have said earlier, but the crew plus me, when we were working together, it was excellent. And then the people that they cast were people I've already worked with before. So you had great continuity there too. So there wasn't a whole lot of difference between it being my own material and working with someone else's.
We're going to take a short break with our guest, Michael Doc the Comedian Davis. We're back and speaking with Doc the Comedian on Arkansas Talent Conversations. You also do, kind of moving away from Tuckerman now, on your website, comedian, Doc, and State of Comedy. You also do event promotions, and you're also providing outlets for other comedians.
Yes. I do that. Well, State of Comedy, you just mentioned that, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yes, State of Comedy.
Yeah, State of Comedy. It's basically a big brother to an older website that I had, which was comedianzone.com. And it's a promotional area to help a lot of comedians basically worldwide. However, you know, obviously I'm kind of starting grassroots with Arkansas-based talent, and which obviously makes sense to go with the ATDB, you know, because it's a great marriage as far as I'm concerned. And but it's the same kind of concept. All it is basically comedians that need that little extra oomph or extra kick to get their name out there to start that ball rolling. Because the more your name is attached to things, the more, you know, more exposure you're going to have, and the more easier it's going to be for people to find you. Don't correct my grammar. I did mess that one up. I heard that one as it happened, and I felt my old English teacher beaming her eyes in the back of my head just then. So anyway, moving back to that. But State of Comedy is a way to do not only me to help promote, but it also kind of shows some of the up-and-coming comedians or up-and-coming talent how to self-promote. And the kind of information they need to get out there. And I'm kind of that starter point. And I also host websites and, I have my own web servers and all that stuff. And I can actually, expand them up to that level as well if they want a full blown website or whatever. And I like to help promote. I love doing event promotions too, because but mainly charity stuff. I do mainly charity stuff unless it's a show that I'm in.
Well, you just finished a really big weekend here down in Little Rock with Chili with a Kick.
Chili with a Kick.
We were talking earlier, that was a 13-hour event.
Yes.
And all of that was for, I forget.
Youth home. Yeah, youth home.
And that worked very well.
It was extremely good. Yeah, people were cycling in. By the end of it, you know, 13 hours of doing MC and announcing work and all that stuff nonstop. I mean, I really didn't take a break except for, you know, bio break. But anyway, The funniest part was one of the texts that I got was, by the end of Chili with a Kick, which is usually a big red chili that they have up there, they said my face matched it. So I am very well sunburned. So, you know, there's a whole lot of kickball going on. But yeah, it was Chili with a Kick that benefited Youth Home.
I know one other thing too that, you do a lot of for yourself, and I heard you on another, radio interview program. It was on the Mike Kara show.
Mm-hmm.
That people can pick that up. I think it's on MikeKara.com. You have a really excellent interview on there also.
Thank you.
And you discuss about your own form of promotion that, you know, unless you're willing to get out there and really put yourself out there, there's really no such thing as a break in any of this, whether it's an independent filmmaker, stand-up comedian, an actor, whatever that is. And I know you're staunch in that, you know, and you spend a lot of time doing promotion.
Well, my girlfriend would definitely say, yes, he spends a whole lot of time in promoting. And a lot of it is the simplest things, like interacting with people that want to interact with you, you know, spend that time. You know, the people want to talk to you. It's because they have some kind of, you know, they have a desire to interact, you know, so be there, be their friend. I mean, that's what this is all about, is to entertain. And one of the worst things you can do is to think that you can go home, eat cheesy puffs, and think that all of a sudden somebody's going to, you know, find out that maybe you may have been on a stage somewhere possibly, and your name is, and maybe you went to a school somewhere and you might be picked up. That's not going to happen.
Right. There is no such thing as a lucky break anymore.
No, as far as I'm concerned, no. And the people that say they got a lucky break, it's because they're putting themselves out there so much. They're inundating the market with themselves, and they got found. You know, that they were found by some kind of talent agency, some person. But believe it or not, even though they consider that a lucky break, the hours and hours and hours of performing to get that lucky break, and then hopefully somebody's picking up and doing some kind of promotion, putting them on websites, putting them in event, you know, making sure their name is on events and all that stuff. If you don't do that or have someone doing that, it's very likely, you know, that it's not going to happen. But if you're not willing to put that sweat equity into it either, it's very likely it's not going to happen. You're not going to get that break. It does require a lot of sweat equity.
The searching around in that, I found another site called thedoctv.com, and it's a funny approach to serious topics, is what I wrote, read on the website. Is that kind of a tie-in, with WTF and the comedy shorts, or is that a prelude to what you're working on
now? Well, it's kind of an intermix. DDocTV is, it's going to be taking short films, podcasts, stupid stuff I do. That's really kind of doc-centric, you know, me, my character. Mm-hmm. It's really more based on it. WTF comedy is more for highlighting the three comics, me, and then Chucky D and Tommy Kelly, the guys that have really been there that have really, you know, and Rick Gutierrez too is actually part of that. Those are the guys that really that built the foundation for me to be able to be in comedy. I owe a lot to a guy named Sharp Dunaway as well. He really helped with promotions. He's on the Point 94.1. WTF comedy is more of a group, and it's going to be short films and all kinds of stuff. DocTV is more, just promotions that I'm doing for myself, or people are actually sending in stuff that's kind of, hey dude, I don't know if you saw my cell phone up there in the audience, but I was recording the whole thing that you did. Look at this. I didn't know you wore a G-string. I mean, you name it. They've got their little, no, I didn't know you were filming, you know, whatever. But if they have those shorts or whatever, they send them to me, I put them up there. I did a 4-part interview with Sharp Dunaway, matter of fact, and it's got what we're doing right here. I did a 4-part interview of that whole thing. And of course we were drinking Jack Daniels and Coke. And so it got worse and worse as you got to the end of the interview. And that's one of them that you got to see. But yeah, it's both serious topics, comedy topics, stuff that has absolutely nothing to do with comedy, but it's stuff that I'm involved in. And some of it's going to be involved in, commercials, a little bit more serious, but there's going to be some commercials that are going to be very specific with, I am a comedian. However, there are things that I don't find funny, one of which is child abuse. And I'm going to do some promotional stuff to help organizations that fight against it, like CASA and stuff.
Our guest today is Michael Doc Davis on Arkansas Talent Conversations. And I do want to hit on that a bit with you also, is that you are a CASA advocate.
Yes.
And you've been doing that for a number of years. You do a lot of benefit event organizations with that. And I don't want to be personal, but I mean, what got you into that type of volunteering, in CASA?
Yeah. A lot of people ask me that. It's kind of a weird topic. How I got involved in CASA specifically, somebody said that there was this organization that needed help on a website. And I went over there and I met with CASA, 20th Judicial District in Faulkner County. Say that three times. Down in Faulkner County, it's in Conway, Arkansas. And, we talked and I helped them out a little bit, and I ended up hosting their website. But the core of it is I wanted to always help. You know, I wanted to figure out how I could help an organization like this. I didn't know of any, and then I ran across CASA. And then I found out that I could tie my comedy, you know, cause people always ask, why do you like making people laugh? Cause not all people can laugh. Some of them are in situations where they can't laugh, mainly kids that are being abused.
Right.
And then boom, it just kind of all came together. So I kind of tie my CASA for awareness to help raise awareness for CASA. So, I mean, it's a great marriage. I do a lot of, awareness. I raise a lot of awareness. I don't have a whole lot of time to be able to concentrate on an individual kid. So what I try to do is concentrate on the entire organization and be able to spread the word. You know, you need to help. I actually went through the entire training and was sworn in by their circuit judge down there. So, I mean, if I can do it, if I can burn that time to do that, you know, anybody can do that time. But, I did that. And the seed that was planted that actually made me, everybody wants to know, why is it always child abuse organizations? Is there some dark underlying deal that made you?
Well, I wasn't
do that?
Going there on that point.
But, I'll go ahead and share it though. I was at, Children's Hospital one time, and, I was doing a little bit of stuff to help, you know, make kids happy and, you know, just do little funny characters out in the hall. It was a long time ago. And, a kid went code blue in there, and it was because of abuse. And, when they told me the story, it took me probably about 3 weeks to get over the idea and the whole concept of it, of what I'd just seen. I mean, I actually got to see, and then I was interacting with the child when they went full code blue and they never came out of it. And when the whole CASA and child abuse thing came about, I mean, it made sense. And it was like, this was planted a long time ago. Now I've got comedy. Now I've got that medium to be able to push out, and then boom, and it happened from there.
Right. Now you're getting more of a promotional, you're getting more outreach, mm-hmm. and you can help bring that.
Yes. Yeah. That just like the youth home thing. Yeah. Just like the youth home with Chili with a Kick. I mean, that was a big, big, big event down at Dickie Stevens Park. So that's the same thing. Youth home, make a child smile, CASA, BACA, you name it. I try to get involved.
Right. You also do, web designing and web hosting. I guess that helps to pay the bills with everything else for as busy of an individual as you are also.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's kind of a, in order to get to where I need to go, you know, my website, I have to pay for my website.
Right.
And one of the ways I pay for that website is to help other people with their websites. And, but it ended up being, it also allowed a way to be able to help a lot more organizations that didn't have websites and to be able to promote their website. So I do a lot of web hosting, web designs. Rick Gutierrez, his stuff is hosted through mine, which is a guy that was another comedian that was on HBO and a few other things. Chucky D and Tommy Kelly, a lot of the high end comedians here in Arkansas are hosting all their stuff through me. Sharp Dunaway from The Point, they have some of their stuff going through there. But I like hosting, you know, the websites because I see that all these outside of Arkansas, you know, places are making all this money off of Arkansans and Arkansans aren't seeing any of the money. So why not just keep it all here in Arkansas? So that's kind of why I'm doing a lot of that too.
Right. Now, getting back to the shorts.
All right. He wants to get back in my shorts.
Get back into the shorts. WTF. You're right now, you're in the midst of finishing up a bunch of short scripts.
Yep.
You're going to start filming it here as soon as the weather returns and we hopefully lose the threat of snow. And another thing you announced to me, we were sitting down talking, you're going to be working on a feature.
Yes, full feature comedy.
Are you going to direct that yourself, or what are you going to do?
That's going to, you know, I haven't gotten that far. You know, that's a really good question because I was sitting there thinking, how in the heck am I going to know what this looks like behind the camera if I'm in front of the camera? And the main character in the movie is based on my own personal interactions with some stuff. And then I kind of, you know, embellished that quite a bit. And then, I was like, well, I've got to be that character. I can't avoid that. So I'm going to have to probably get a director from Arkansas to go ahead and I'll just tell him my vision and let him, you know, mold it to the, how, what he thinks it should be as a director.
So you're going to start working on that as a full feature for a script. You're also going to be writing the script.
I am writing
for the
script
full
now,
feature.
Yeah.
You're in the process of doing
yes,
it.
Yes.
So are the, when the WTF shorts come out, are they going to pretty much build towards the feature?
No, they're
going to be something
separate.
Completely mm-hmm. separate, completely different.
Right. But the cool thing is that's going to bring more attention and stuff towards my ultimate goal is getting people out to, hey, we saw their shorts. This full feature is going to be hilarious. So it's kind of what it's for. One's kind of a lead in from a promotional standpoint.
Great. That sounds wonderful. Well, Michael Doc Davis, I want to thank you for speaking with us today on Arkansas Talent
thank
Conversations.
You.
And, as you get things progressed along with the feature and you get the shorts finished, I'd love to have you come back and talk some more on that. I mean, the time just flew by today.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did. And I'll make sure that the Arkansas Talent Database is also kept up to date on what I'm doing. Any events that I push out there, anybody that's listening can go out to the Arkansas Talent Database and find out more information on what I'm doing.
That'd be great. You can post, you know, if you want to, you post anything you want to on the events, casting calls, whatever for mm-hmm. people that, for help that's needed.
That's an incredible resource. I like where you're going with it. I mean, I think that's going to be where a lot of people are going to be. They already are, but I think a lot more people are going to be using it as a source for a lot of that.
Well, Michael, I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to Arkansas Talent Conversations, a production of Logat Media. To find out more about Arkansas Talent Conversations and our guests, please visit the Arkansas Talent Database at www.arkansastalentdatabase.ning.com or visit Logap Media at www.logap.com. Until next time, Pacoy Laska Roost.